It's time for Sound Mind with life coach and counselor Daniel Pryor. For more information about Daniel Pryor and his services, visit BibleBasedCounselor.com. Daniel has offices in Bellevue and Edmonds. And now your host, Daniel Pryor.
And Mark Holland hanging along here as well with Daniel Pryor, life coach and counselor extraordinaire. And Sound Mind is a show where we try and help you have a sound mind in all your relationships and the things you face. Interesting discussion last week. Is he right for you? This week we're kind of transitioning to, is she right for you? Mm-hmm. And if you didn't listen to last week's show, I really encourage you to hear that on... Are you posting these yet on your website at BibleBasedCounselor.com?
They're not posted.
Not yet. Posted yet, but, well, some of your writings and some of the things you believe.
Yeah, in fact, I will try to post the... It may be posted by now, but these are coming off as a list, and so they could be posted at ChristianCounselorsForum.com.
And you said what was interesting too with these lists is she right for you? Is he right for you? This is something that maybe the prospective people can pass back and forth to each other too. So
that's right. If and we didn't mention this last week, but this week, if she's got the list from last week. And she's reading down there all the things that she should be looking for. And by the way, these are not exhaustive lists,
sure.
But they kind of turn over some interesting stones that a lot of people don't bother to think about. So if she's reading down the list of the things that she should be looking for, it wouldn't be a bad idea to give him that list and say, these are the things I'm looking at. And it would be a way for him to look almost like a... informational
inventory,
interview, mm-hmm. Where he's looking down, says, okay, this is the checklist, I'm graded on this, but it would be a good idea for him to look at that list and say, well, I wonder how I measure up in these areas, mm-hmm. Some areas that
you say it's not an exhaustive list, it's kind of a general list, and obviously we're also with these lists we're assuming right off the bat that these are both Christians,
mm-hmm. Right.
So we really believe that is a foundational part of somebody you're choosing as a possible mate.
And the reason we said that too was because that the worldview is what establishes our view of purpose of marriage, and there has to be purpose in marriage, because the process of marriage, the thing that we have trouble with, the reason we go to counseling, the process of marriage follows the purpose of marriage. So if our purpose of marriage is short-sighted, askew, going sideways, then the process is never going to work. So people go to counseling for process. It's a way to have a healthy process is to have a healthy purpose, and the way to have a healthy purpose is to have a healthy worldview. And you should certainly be marrying someone that walks with you in that worldview.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Is she right for you? Okay, some things for men to think about. Young men, mm-hmm. as they're looking at a prospective woman that they might want to marry. What are some of the first things you list here?
Yeah, and so we talked last week that women are generally more mature. They're more prepared for commitment, and commitment is big in marriage. They start earlier. And last week I shared about the gal that was, going into puberty, and the dad just thought she was getting sick and was going to send her to bed and take
that
it easy.
That was you.
And the mom said, no, girls work through pain, kind of like, guys don't. So girls start very early. I've had guys say to me in marriage counseling more than one time, the man will say, I feel like I'm the one that's having to make all the changes in the marriage. And my response is, what you don't realize is that your wife started changing at 9 years old. And guys wait until they're 19 or 29 or 39. Yeah. And then they start feeling like it is an uphill grade for guys, but it's because gals start getting real about life because of what their body goes through. They start having to get real about life pretty early on.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So, nevertheless, there are these family of origin issues. We all have them. They're ever present. And the gal that you're dating and looking for, she's got family of origin issues too. And you want to look at some things. And again, this is not an exhaustive list, but you should be concerned about the gal's low self-image. And let me just slip in here. If you marry a person that has difficulties, it's your job to help them heal. not complain about them. That's what the marriage relationship is about. It's about healing. The husband is supposed to present his wife spotless and blameless. So I see a lot of husbands pointing out the things wife is doing wrong instead of covering that and saying, okay, that's, you know, I got to find out a way to fix, you know, help her heal. So we, you know, back self-esteem, a self-image can lead to a downward spiral. If a gal's got a low self-image, and it's easy for gals to have low self-image because their whole life is about trying to be attractive to get the guy, and that's not their whole life. But early in life, they certainly think about that, and there's a whole lot of the standard for women is much, much higher than it is for men. Guys can get a gal by being kind of a slob, but the other way around is probably not going to work. Okay. You know, so the line is a lot higher. But that low self image can.
What does that look like? Low self image. How can that? How would that express itself? Because sometimes a woman who's like really, really attractive can be still have really low self esteem. So it's not about necessarily a physical thing.
Yeah, sometimes low self esteem. Sometimes being attractive. Oh, you know, working at being attractive is an overcompensation for low self image, overachieving, always having to be right, always having to win, always having to be attractive, always in competition is a compensation for a low self image. Shame is going to lead into control issues, not only control, not that we say, oh, she's always being controlling, not so much that. But control of her own life, you know, how much she eats, how much she exercises. She can, you know, one sense of losing control is withdrawing from relationships, withdrawing from responsibilities. You know, pretty soon the house is getting messier. She's putting on weight. And all these things can be stemmed back to low self-image. And so, again, it's the, you know, if you're going to marry a gal with low self-image, you got to change her self-image. It's your responsibility to give her a place to feel whole. And her relationship with her father and her
I've heard this is a big one.
Yeah, it is. It's huge. She gets her sense of what it means to be a whole woman from her dad. The mother has a component that she puts in there, but what does it mean to be a woman? Well, a woman is the opposite of the man. And when you're talking about people who are approaching marriage, what it means to be a woman is somebody that guy appreciates and is going to accept and love and cherish, et cetera, et cetera. So she gets a lot of that from her dad. So is there mutual respect? So I want the dad to respect her and not just be patronizing, oh, honey, you did the best with what you had, but really respect her. And then I want her to respect her dad. And I do see situations where the daughter doesn't respect the dad. Oh, my dad, he's, you know, kind of a lazy duffer. He's, you know, and then that is a reflection of a problem in the dad and mom's relationship. But it is a family of origin issue that's going to come out in the marriage. So it's just something to look at and something maybe to bring her attention to. Do they mutually appreciate? Does she appreciate her dad? My daughter, when she was growing up, we had the typical thing between dad and daughter where, you know, we had misunderstandings and disappointments and that. But, you know, at the end of it all, she would tell me, Dad, I think you're the most intelligent guy. I think I really appreciate what, you know, so there was a definite appreciation. Now, if I was mistreating her, she could not say that. So if the gal that you're interested in can't appreciate her father, there's something going on there that she, and so when she gets married, that all kind of reaches or kind of reflects back the low self-image and that thing too. So you want to keep an eye, you want to be cognizant of that. Mother and father relationships, again, as we spoke last week, it's important. Don't just, you know, you can't just look at the gal and say, well, she gets along with her dad okay, you know, and I think that's good enough. Look at the dad and mom. Is there a balance of power? Does each respect the other one? Are they equally accomplished? Or is it a situation that you run into sometimes where the dad has accomplishments and accolades and the mom is just kind of in the shadows and not really appreciated?
Now, how's that going to affect the girl then, the gal he's looking at, if mom is that kind of mom?
It can go a couple of ways. The woman, the young woman can really despise that role of the weak mom, and so she can come out and be over-controlling, or she can buy into that same thing, not respect herself, and it can go into that same downward spiral of, you know, of loss of control and loss of motivation and those kinds of things. And then if she doesn't get any help from you, the future husband, it can go into even chronic depression and anxiety and those kinds of things.
Mm-hmm.
So balance of power, equality of accomplishments or appreciation of one another. Look at her friendships. We said this last week, too. You can tell a lot about a person from their friendships. Who does she spend her time with? What are their accomplishments, the accomplishments of her friends? And what's that all about? Is this a group where everybody's competing? That's not necessarily a good thing, because there can be a lot of shame and fear motivation. How are they doing in school? And I don't mean to kick people, you know, when they're down and say, if her friends aren't doing good in school, write her off. But again, your job is, if you're going to marry this person, you want to understand what it is that you're dealing with, and you want to have at least your eyes on the road when you're heading toward marriage, and not go into it like so many people do, totally oblivious to what the problems might be. So they go to the church for premarriage counseling, and they just kind of go down the checklist. Yeah, read that scripture, did that, thank you, pastor, we're on our way. Instead of realizing that there are going to be problems, and for you, the guy, it's going to be your responsibility to lay your life down and accommodate these things and bring healing.
Mm-hmm. So have your eyes open. That's what this checklist is for as well. One thing I want to ask you, too, is about the friends. I've heard that it's good for women to have friends because if they're, again, maybe a loner, that puts a lot of it's going to put a lot of pressure on you as this prospective husband. So I would think women having lots of friends is a really good sign.
It kind of goes both ways. There are, particularly at that point in their life, you're not in the picture yet. Once you're married, one of the things that happens should happen is that the husband and wife begin to become a unit, and then there are a lot of friends that those relationships change because you can't allow those other relationships, those outside relationships, to require the same kind of time on you that they did when you were single, because you're not single anymore and you're with this other person. So those relationships change. But at this point in time when you're just contemplating, there should be healthy relationships around the people. And if not, then this young man would have the challenge of bringing her out. See, because as we've said maybe in shows before, your experience of yourself or yourself is really just your experience of other people experiencing you. So a person that doesn't have relationships can't have a healthy sense of who they are, because who I am is a kind of a composite of the relationships that I'm in. There's no such thing as a being without relationships. Beingness depends on relationship and interhuman reaction. So yeah, it's healthy. They must have some healthy relationships, or kind of be on the road to learning, why they don't and how they can.
Again, we asked this about the men who have a lot of women friends. What about a woman who has mostly men friends?
Yeah,
what's going on there?
Well, I can tell you, there are a number of factors in that. One of them might have to do even with this gal that you're interested in, her birth mother, her mother, if she was going through stress at the time of pregnancy, when the gal that you're interested, if she was going through stress, there would be a higher level of androgen.
There's a chemical reason for this?
There actually can be, because, and our adopted daughter was, her mother was kind of had a rough go of it and was always that way. And so partly because of that, and then partly because of my relationship with her as kind of a home dad, I was going to school and kind of raising her. But she's a tomboy, and most of her friends were guys, and she wasn't comfortable being around girls. Now,
And that's not necessarily wrong. That's not necessarily bad, or but it, just something you need to be aware of.
It isn't. It isn't bad, but underlying her preference for guys is the fact that she feels she's always in competition with gals, and so there are. So that is somewhat limiting, and so you got to wonder at some point, will she? How will she respond in relationships with older women, and as she gets older, will she be intimidated by younger women? So there are a lot of questions that can come up. Again, there's no perfect people, and I love my daughter, and I like the fact that she doesn't mind picking up a hammer from time to time.
There you go. Well, so there are some benefits of that. Hey, we're talking with Daniel Pryor. This is Sound Mind. The subject this week is She Right for You. We encourage you to pass this on and tell your maybe your prospective young people in your life, your young men, your young women, to really pay attention to both these shows this last week and this week. BibleBasedCounselor.com, and also your other website, Daniel,
is ChristianCounselorsForum.com.
And a lot of your writing is there. And you have offices in Bellevue and Edmonds. And your phone number
is 425-778-6169.
We'll be back with more of Sound Mind with Daniel Pryor in just a moment.
Hi, this is Daniel Pryor, counselor and life coach. Where marriage is concerned, an ounce of prevention is worth a lot more than a pound of cure. Too many couples start off with misconceptions and then wait until the damage is done to seek counsel. As a marriage counselor, I help couples understand both the purpose and process of marriage, and I teach essential tools of communion. If you're married or thinking about marriage and want to get started right, contact me through my website at BibleBasedCounselor.com or call me at 425-778-6169.
Sound Mind with life coach and counselor Daniel Pryor. And now your host, Daniel Pryor.
Mark Holland along here as well and enjoying this discussion of Is She Right for You? And this is great advice from Daniel on maybe kind of a what we call this a checklist kind of, Daniel, that people should keep in mind.
Not an exhaustive, but
some main principles and high points of what you might be looking for in a prospective spouse. And we were left off our conversation before the break about her friendships, and you wanted to say a little bit more about that?
Yeah, looking at their accomplishments, how do they spend their time, what are their accomplishments, and then again, what are her accomplishments? It's good to, you know, the accomplishments, a person's accomplishments reflect their, a lot of times, their self-esteem, their convictions, confidence, and so looking at the things that the person accomplished, they don't have to be great things, but one thing that might be really important is how does that gal look at her accomplishments? You know, if she's playing the flute a little bit or playing the piano a little bit or painting a little bit, if she appreciates what she's doing and she can put that in the context of her life and say, yeah, I do that, you know. But if it's something that she's obviously ashamed of, then there's going to be an issue later on in life where she's always going to feel that she's in competition with other people. There can be situations where that will bring out jealousy. Now, where there's smoke, there's fire. So whenever a guy says, well, my wife is always jealous, my immediate response to him is, should she be? Because where there's smoke, there's fire. I think, you know, it's your responsibility as a young guy, as a husband, to give her no reason to be jealous. And I've never seen a situation where there wasn't at least something to be concerned about if the mother is, if the gal is jealous. But I wouldn't say that there could never be a chance, because sometimes an indiscretion on a guy's part, and I mean by indiscretion, I don't mean an affair, I'm talking about maybe as a husband, he's having lunch with a secretary, and maybe it's a business lunch, the wife is picking up on something, and the husband might even be picking up on something, but he might be in denial, you know. But it is after all a business lunch, not a business dinner, and so he's got the boundaries, he's keeping the boundaries, but maybe something's happening inside that he's not admitting to, and the wife is picking up on that because he's seeming a little bit distant. And then because she has low self-esteem, She begins to blow this out of proportion, and then that exacerbates the problem. So her accomplishments. I have down here, look at your feelings and your behaviors when you're with her. Are you proud of her? Do you, or are you ashamed of her? You know, that's a problem. It's not her problem. It's your problem. But, you know, you don't want to be proposing marriage to a person who you feel embarrassed by. I had a situation not too long ago where a gal was telling me that her boyfriend referred to her when he's introducing her to family members or somewhere else. He referred to her as kind of a term that was insulting. I mean, it wasn't vulgar, but it was like knucklehead or something like that, you know? Hey, meet my knucklehead. And, you know, he was telling her, oh, it's just a joke. Don't worry about it. But, it reflects a lack of respect on his part. He's obviously got a problem with the way he feels about her. And so, what are your feelings about her? And does she inspire you to be a better person? Because if you're not being a better person for her, then you're almost surely in a situation where you devalue her in certain ways by talking, by being short with her, by not giving her whole explanations. She becomes the butt of the joke when you're out with, just different ways of devaluing her. That's going to get worse after you're married, and it's going to be the beginning of the end. So if you recognize in your relationship with her that, you know, you're not being fair to her, you really don't admire her, you really don't respect her when you're out with people, then either you need to be honest with her or you need to work on the problem that you've got and what your ego is doing to keep you from appreciating this other person.
I like this question here. Do you trust her with yourself? Mm-hmm. What do you, does that mean kind of, because guys are pretty, pretty vulnerable. It's hard for them to be vulnerable with a woman. Mm-hmm. And, women seem to easily, if they're not careful, can just kind of just walk all over a guy's feelings.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and so this question is for a young, now, and it's good for young men to look at that because whether you realize it or not, this is the calling if you're going to get married to lay down your life for the other person. So you have to, you know, I've had guys ask me, what if I lay down my life and she just walks all over me? Well, you should be careful who you propose to because you're actually giving them the right to do that.
Yeah.
They're supposed to obey us as they would the Lord. Well, no, not until we lay our lives down.
Right.
And then it becomes very easy for them to do because we don't have any rights, you see. So that's the first thing. You trust her with yourself. You know, are you going to be able to just lay your life aside and say, you know, we're going to go, you know, your idea is going to be as good as mine. You're going to be part of the decision-making too, and I'm just going to trust you with that. So do you really admire her, things about her? And this is not just, I think that's kind of cool. This is admire. This is things that she does. Have you bothered to notice how the things that she does actually, you're kind of in awe of things that she does and you admire things about her? That's an important thing. If you don't admire things about her and you expect this marriage to work, you're going to have to learn to admire things about her or it will never work. And we didn't say this, I don't think, last week, but let's say it this week and let's say it for the guys too, that are the gals too, if you're looking for, you know, knowing him. Is he or she openly spiritual in front of you? That indicates honesty. It indicates inner strength and a willingness to be vulnerable. So they have to be, you know, that person should be openly spiritual. When you're in church and there's worship going on, is the person more comfortable cracking jokes about what's going on, or is the person comfortable really entering in like a mature adult, because that humor is shame based, and that's actually an anger behavior. Even though the person's smiling, that can turn into anger because it's fear based, it's shame based. That makes it an anger behavior. And then another thing is, does this woman study the Word? And we didn't say this about last week, but it's pretty pivotal, pretty foundational. Does he study the Word, or just kind of read through it and have a kind of a not so good working knowledge of the Bible? Or are they really treating this like the Word of God and they're really studying it and trying to implement that in their lives? Now, guys get a little bit of an advantage here because there's actually a chapter in the book.
There is a checklist in the Bible for the women.
Proverbs 31, and it's a virtuous woman. But the thing that you need to look at in that is this virtuous woman is just not meek and mild and, you know, trying to stay out of the way. She's running the family business and balancing the books and making sure everything's taken care of. And so this is a virtuous woman. Now, I don't like the part where it says that the men are sitting at the gate. You know, they should be working too. There should be virtuous men, and they should be noticed too. But and Solomon said, "Who can find a virtuous woman?" And he did look hard, and I think he had 1,000 wives or something like that. But he was not the best judge of women.
No.
One is sufficient, and there are lots and lots and lots of virtuous women. Part of the reason that we think that there's not is because we haven't done the work to give them a place to be virtuous. Mm. So that's part of the responsibility here. So it's not an exhaustive checklist. It just gets us started. And maybe, if nothing else, we discover in looking through these the ominous responsibility of marriage. And so if you are going to church for pre-marriage counseling, maybe you look at it a little bit differently after looking at these things and saying, you know, I'm about to embark on the most serious decision of my life, and I need to take it soberly, seriously. Yeah.
Some of the thoughts of Daniel Pryor, life coach and counselor this week, looking at Is She Right for You? We encourage you to listen and look at maybe some of his writings about the previous week, too. Is He Right for You? I think most importantly, too, we want to remember, are we right for this other person? We can only really work on ourselves and be the best person we can be.
Yeah.
But this is like right up there with following the Lord, I would think. Mm-hmm. Follow, you know, who you're going to marry is a pretty important life decision.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Sound Mind with Daniel Pryor, and he is got a wonderful website, BibleBasedCounselor.com, and where you do a lot of your writing, too.
Yeah, is ChristianCounselorsForum.com.
ChristianCounselorsForum.com, and you have offices in Bellevue and Edmonds. And your phone number, Daniel?
Is, again, 425-778-6169.
So if you need some counseling, maybe some premarital counseling, do you do premarital counseling with folks?
Yeah, yes. Usually people are going through the church to do that. And I do that if people... if I've got a couple that are interested in that, it's kind of what we're doing here, but we go into the list more and
So BibleBasedCounselor.com to get a hold of Daniel. This has been Sound Mind with Daniel Pryor on KCIS.
You've been listening to Sound Mind with life coach and counselor Daniel Pryor. For more information about Daniel Pryor and his services, visit BibleBasedCounselor.com. Daniel has offices in Bellevue and Edmonds. To make an appointment, call 425-778-6169. Be sure to tune in each Tuesday afternoon at 1 p.m. for Sound Mind with Daniel Pryor.